Even once I realized this would be my final sermon as one of your pastors, and that I could pick any passage from Scripture to preach, the task of settling on one at first was extremely difficult, because as you know, the Bible's big, and there's a lot of great passages that can be preached. And it wasn't because I didn't have much to say, but because there's so much I would love to say, that very much the prayer has been that the Lord would focus what needs to be said. And so I chose a text based upon the simple fact that over the past 6 to 7 weeks, I haven't been able to stop thinking about it. The words, by God's grace, have just kept coming back to my mind, whether in conversation, whether in prayer, whether in just the quietness of my thoughts, whether in moments of temptation or moments of strength, whether in times of failure or times of success, whether in moments of gladness or times of sorrow and loss. So to me, this passage summarizes the central idea of the Christian life on earth. So turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Or if you're using the Pew Bible there in front of you, page 984. The central idea of the Christian life on earth, our North Star. And the Bible's going to say this kind of thing 900 different ways. It's to be our preoccupation from the moment of our conversion to the day we depart this present world. And I'm confident that a new passage may grip me tomorrow, may grip you tomorrow, but for today, this is the passage I want us to consider and reflect upon. Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Let's go to him now in prayer. Father, we pray now that by your Spirit you would remove every obstacle of unbelief, every obstacle of distraction, every obstacle of temptation, and fix our eyes entirely and completely upon Jesus. Soften our hearts to hear this word. Prepare us as a church to receive this counsel. Help us to trust in what you're calling us to trust. Help us to cling what you've called us to cling to. Help us to forsake all that you're telling us here to forsake, that Christ would have preeminence in our hearts, would have first place in our church, would dominate our thoughts and our desires, that everything we would do and think and feel from this moment onward would be ruled by him. And from him, and for him, and to him, because he deserves the glory. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. You really stop to think about it. We spend a massive amount of time seeking and searching for things in life. Just car keys, wallets, kids, something to eat, just the right clothing to wear for the day. Just consider the amount of time you spend on search engines, even on your computer, just looking for the right plumber, the right electrician, the right retail store, or the most highly rated restaurant, or just some piece of trivia you're trying to look up, some piece of history. We seek education, we seek employment, we seek financial security, we seek physical comfort, good friendships, health, even the intangible things. We'll seek sometimes meaning or belonging. We'll seek justice or hope, purpose, love, pleasure. Which is something in human nature that compels us to seek, to grasp for things, to strive after. And then when we find what we've sought, when we finally grab what we've been seeking, especially if that journey was difficult, we grab a hold of it and we refuse to let it go. Once we find that perfect fishing spot, we don't want to leave it. That great restaurant, we just keep going back. Once, if you've ever done it, found that perfect pair of jeans, that 1 in 1,000 perfect pair of jeans that just fits you. You just want to wear them every day. You go out and buy like five pairs of the same jean just to wear it every day. Consider then that in Christ you've been given the end of all seeking. And once we have him, everything else just pales in comparison. We read it this morning, for him we suffer the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, in order that we may gain Christ and be found in him. Paul's even going to tell us in Colossians chapter 1, all things were created by him and through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. First question I would ask is, do you live your life as if that is true? It's all from him. It's all through him. It's all for him. Everything about him. That's why in this sermon I just want to make one point. And that is, Christ is your life. Christ is your life. Christ is your life. I want to express that point using four subpoints. You'll see there in your service guide, there'll be 4 points there in the notes. Reality we live in, how we're to respond to that reality, the reason we're to respond that way, and then the ultimate result. Firstly, reality. You have been raised. Verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ. And now that sounds like a condition that Paul is setting forth using that phrase, if then, but he's really stating an assumption. We could easily say, since then. Since then, you have been raised with Christ, because he's speaking to regenerate Christians. He's speaking to those whom the Spirit of God has united to Christ through faith. And therefore, we're united to his resurrection. When Christ rose from the grave, all whom the Spirit united to Christ rose with him. If the Spirit has brought you to repentance of your sins and to faith in Jesus and his atoning work on your behalf, then you have been raised with Christ from death to life. Colossians 2:13, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, but God has made you alive with Christ. He's redeemed you. He's forgiven you. And Paul thinks that should control everything else. You've been raised from hostility to peace with God, Colossians 1:21. You've been raised from alienation from God to reconciliation, Colossians 1:21. From despair to hope, Colossians 1:27. From ignorance of God to true knowledge of God, Colossians 2:2. You've been raised with Christ from slave of sin to slave of Christ, Colossians 2:11. From being enslaved to the cravings of your flesh to freedom, to live for the righteousness of Christ. You've been raised from Christ, from the malicious, hateful grip of Satan to the very forgiving, loving hands of God, Colossians 2:15. From child of the devil to child of God. You notice the past tense there of his words. You have been raised. It is finished. It is accomplished. You are a new creation. So that whatever death you face at the end of this life is a passing moment, because you've already been raised. It's as good as done, because it is done. Though your body will die and go into the ground, your spirit is already alive in Christ. So it'll be like this seed that is thrown into the soil and there watered, that outer husk of your body will die and go. And that will just release this eternal life that is within. And then even someday, that husk of a body that dies will be raised and glorified, just as Jesus was raised and glorified. And when you hold in your mind the reality that you have been raised with Christ, that you're alive in Christ, Do you really care who wins the World Series? Or even if there is one? Do you really care about the stock market? Do you really care about the next blockbuster movie, whenever those will come out again? Do you really care who wins the next election? Do you really care about the quality of your house, your car, your career? When you set all those things beside the reality that you have been raised and recreated with Christ for a whole nother world. And so certainly the concerns of daily life still matter. But no longer should they capture the affections of our hearts. No longer should they matter so much that they consume us, that they govern our emotions and obsessions of our minds, which brings us to the next point. Response. Seek and set your mind on things above. Since then you have been raised with Christ, then, verse 1, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Seek or pursue vigorously. Strive to obtain with all the passion of your heart, with all your energy, things that are above. So you just ask yourself, what are my deep desires? What are my dreams and ambitions? What are my treasures? That's what I seek. That's what Paul's talking about. That's why David says in Psalm 27, one thing I have asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing, he says, everything else submitted beneath that one thing. So when you leave this room today, beware of seeking the things that the world sells or commends or applauds. Beware of seeking that which the world says you ought to seek, spends billions of dollars trying to convince you what you should seek. The world functions under the power of the evil one. Satan is a liar and a murderer. The world is his slaughterhouse. Selfish desires is what he uses as the snare. Beware of seeking money. It will ensnare you. As Israel was going into exile, Ezekiel prophesied of them these words. They cast their silver into the streets, and their gold is like an unclean thing. Their silver and gold are not able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They cannot satisfy their hunger or fill their stomachs with it, for it was a stumbling block of their iniquity. Seek wealth over Jesus, and you will lose both. Beware of seeking fame, applause, power, sensuality, immorality, whatever idol may be the temptation that you lean toward. The Lord declares through Jeremiah, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, that's the first, and hewed out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns that can hold no water. So to ask yourself, does the stuff that you pour your life into seem to leak? Does it fail to satisfy you? That's the sign it isn't God. And passages like this call us to cease that seeking and seek the fountain of living water. The one that when you drink of it, Jesus says, you never thirst. And all that comes with him. Seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seek Christ. Seek his words in Scripture. Seek his spirit in prayer. Seek grace from his hand. Seek mercy. Seek love. Seek reconciliation to God in Christ. Seek the kingdom of Christ and the power of Christ and the glory of Christ. Arise in the morning and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Seek his glory in all that he has made. Seek His glory in everything that we do. Seek whatever is above. And then set your mind on those things. Beware of setting your mind on the contents of Facebook or Twitter or social media or the news, which is really just, it's just morsels of good food floating on plastic trays in a river of raw sewage. That's the internet. That's social media. Is there good morsels out there? Yeah, but you better reach for it with a pole and then run. Because you swim in it, you'll die in it. So beware of setting your mind on what's in there. Beware of setting your minds on the words of politicians or influencers, whatever that means, or upon accusations, or upon failures, or upon disappointments, or upon wrongs, upon injustices, upon frustrations, upon sin, whether your sin or anybody else's, upon anything whatsoever that does not exist in heaven. That's Paul's point. If it doesn't exist in heaven, don't set your mind on it. Don't dwell on it. So we should live every hour of every day in this world fully invested in our responsibilities on earth, yet always with our minds set on things that are above. Fully invested in the responsibilities that God has given us here, yet fully focused on who it's about. So care about abuse, but don't set your mind on it. Care about sex trafficking, but don't set your mind on it. Care about poverty, COVID-19, immigration, ethnic prejudice, abortion, marriage, children, health, career, but don't set your heart on those things. Don't give yourself to those things. Right things can wrongly consume you. Right things can wrongly consume you. And so what are you anxious about? What are you bitter about? What are you despairing over? What are you overwhelmed by? What are you quarreling for? And just realize nobody can really answer those questions for you. Just you and God. In the quietness of your own heart, what do you worry about? What are you consumed by? What are you overwhelmed with? Because whatever that is, that's what your mind is set upon. That's why this passage is here. Because we need continual reminders from God to set our minds on Jesus Christ. And in fact, only by setting our minds upon Christ will we actually care rightly about everything else. Only by keeping Jesus before our eyes in the first place and in our hearts does everything else come into proper focus. It's like a camera that to get a clear shot of something, you've got to fix on something that brings everything else into view. And it's Jesus. And only by fixing on Him does everything else make sense in His light. And so when God says to us, set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, He means us to fix our thoughts, our affections, our aspirations on that which exists in heaven and not on earth. Doesn't mean that God isn't on earth. It just means that God isn't going to dwell forever on this present earth and in this present world. In heaven, there is God. In heaven, there's your eternal inheritance. There's your spiritual family from every tribe and tongue glorified. There's never-ending peace and unity. There's the word of Christ and everlasting praise to Christ. There's actually really amazing food there, amazing drink, amazing celebration, true pleasures, beyond all that we could ever fathom that exists there. There's perfect holiness, perfect justice, perfect righteousness, perfect love. That's why we're to pray, as Jesus modeled, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because that's what's in heaven. And that's what we would pray to be on the earth. So whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:8. So if it's untrue, if it's dishonorable, if it's unjust, if it's impure, if it's unlovely, don't dwell on those things. If it's true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about it. Dwell on it. Be consumed by that. It's like if Jesus were to give you a call and say, hey, I'm in San Diego, I'm waiting for you. Jesus has appeared on the earth. He's, of course, just making this up, but he's in San Diego, and he says, get in a car, drive out here, we'll meet face to face. So you jump in the car, and you head towards San Diego from here. Of course, you got to stop to eat. You got to stop to get gas in your car. You got to use the restroom. Along the way, you'll probably try to invite as many people as you possibly can to get in the car with you. Hey, I'm going to meet Jesus in San Diego. Come on. You might spend a few nights in a national forest. You might swing by the Grand Canyon and take in the glorious views. You may even visit some family in New Mexico, but you never take your eyes off the destination. You certainly don't sort of make a home for yourself in Nevada, because you ain't home yet, because home is Him. And so in this life, we're in the car. We're trying to get as many people in the car as we can. We got to eat. We got to drink. We got to get gas. We got to use the restroom. But we never take our eyes off the destination. We never forget who it's for, who we're with, who we're going to. Set our minds on things above. Why? Point three, reason. Your life is hidden with Christ. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. The reason that you've been raised with Christ, verse 1, is that you first died with Christ. Again, this is a fact for each and every one of us who are in Christ. It's not a theory, not a wish, not a proposal. It is a truth. You have died. You have died to sin. You've died to the law. You've died to this world. You've died to the wisdom of this world. That when Christ died for your sin, you died to your sin. When Christ paid for your sin, Christ freed you from your sin. Doesn't have mastery over you. Satan does not have dominion over you. The world doesn't have leverage over you. Just go into a graveyard and try to ruin the lives of the people that are in the grave. Do that this afternoon. Go this afternoon, find a graveyard, dig up all the corpses, sit them around in chairs, and then try to make their lives meaningless and worthless and empty. Try to demean them and ruin their lives. You'll find really quickly, you can't. They're dead. They don't hear you. Your words don't affect them. You have no authority over them, no ability to control them. They are dead to you. Well, the world and the devil have the same lack of power over you. The old person has been crucified with Christ. The sinful flesh, though ever present this side of the grave, is no longer our master. We are alive to Christ. We are dead to this world. And we're alive in a whole new way. As Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. We've been placed into Christ in such a way that we're now fully alive, and as he says, fully hidden. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. From the soul-deceiving schemes of the devil, your life is hidden. From soul-destroying effects of sin, your life is hidden. From soul-despairing pains of persecution, your life is hidden. From the soul-devaluing words of the world, your life is hidden. From the soul-damning wrath of God, your life is hidden. Those who can kill your body cannot kill your soul. Those who can steal your treasures on earth cannot possibly steal your treasures that are in heaven. You're hidden with Christ in God. There's so many movies out there with these opening scenes that are kind of monster movies, villain movies. And in those opening scenes where there's somebody who's running from some monster villain and they're hiding, you kind of know how the scene's going to end. They're going to like cover in some corner or under something. And just the steps of this other creature are getting close to them. And you know, Okay, it's a minor actor or actress. They're toast. They're going to die. Like, this is the beginning of this movie. In any minute, they're found, they're consumed, they're destroyed. Well, if you're in Christ, the villain never finds you, never grabs you, never gets you. He is the ultimate hiding place. According to Psalm 32:7, he preserves us from trouble. He delivers us from evil. He is our refuge. That's why Paul can say in 2 Corinthians 4, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. So will you suffer in this life? Yes. Will it destroy you? No. Will the world hate you? Yes. It had better. Will the world conquer you? No. Will you die and go into the grave? Yes. Will that be the end of you? No. Why not? Because you're hidden with Christ in God. Your soul is secure in Christ in the hands of God. Your body is the property of Christ in God. He purchased you with his blood, and his claim upon you is irrevocable. I fear for us, brothers and sisters, always, this is a temptation, that we would make too much of what God makes little. That we would often feel overwhelmed and vulnerable when we should feel confident and secure. It doesn't mean there won't be times you feel overwhelmed and vulnerable. But if we're hidden in Christ, we shouldn't live there. We should live in a place of confidence, security, that he has us in his hands, because our lives are hidden with Christ in God. So take comfort that these passages here. Paul doesn't write these things because he thinks, in case there might be a few Christians someday somewhere that might struggle with it. It's here because this is the struggle of the Christian life, to remember who holds us, to remember where we're hidden, to remember how safe and secure we are in his hands. Because there's so much turmoil in the world today, as it is in every age, but you are guarded and safe in Christ. He will not lose you. He's never dropped one. Even suffering and death will be used by him to deliver you to him. Which brings us to the final point, result. You will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Christ is your life. The reason you exist as a human being and breathe as a human being is that God made you through Christ and gave you physical life through Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's the reason all things are created. It's also the reason you've been recreated, that your sins are forgiven, that your salvation is secure, is that Christ gave his life for yours, crucified on a cross, raised from the grave. His Spirit moved your heart to believe that good news and then receive his life. And that all your life has been received by faith from his life. And because he lives, you live. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life, John 3:16. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, John 3:36. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will, John 5:21. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life, John 5:39. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6:48. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. John 10:10. I am the bread of life. John 6:48. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11:25. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name, John 20:31. It cannot be stated any stronger or more frequently. Christ is your life, your source of life, your way to life, your strength in life, your hope for life, your joy through life, your glory after this life. So money can help buy you things, but it can't give you life. Possessions can help you get stuff done and perhaps provide a little entertainment, but it cannot impart life. A good job may help you feel productive, help you pay the bills, but it will never bring you life. No created thing imparts life. And do you live with that being true? Or are you seeking life from stuff, from sin, from the world? It's like trying to suck water out of a piece of granite. Just try it. Ain't nothing in there. Sometimes when we try to suck life out of this world, it's not there. Christ is your life. And Christ, your life, will appear. You don't see him now, he will appear. Even now, Jesus Christ is, according to verse 1, seated at the right hand of God. But very soon, Matthew 26, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Any day, any hour, any minute, any second, the heavens will open and Christ will descend with myriads of angels with him, with thousands upon thousands of saints from every tribe and tongue, from every generation coming beside him. And when he appears, you also will appear with him in glory. You either be caught up with him in the air if you still dwell on the earth, or you will be coming with him in the clouds if you've already gone to be with him. But either way, you also will appear with him in glory. On that day when he appears, you will be glorified. Your soul glorified. Your body glorified. Your world remade and glorified. Your church glorified. The present world will pass away, 1 Corinthians 7. The universe will melt as stubble in a furnace, 2 Peter 3. The Antichrist will be thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 19. The devil and his demons will be thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 20. Death will be thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 20. All who scorn the word of God and rejected Jesus Christ will be thrown into the lake of fire, Revelation 20. Then all things will be made new, Revelation 21. And you also will appear with him in glory. All human history is moving to that point. Everything that happens in your life is being used to bring you to that point. And if that is the case, then what do you want your life to be about? What do you want to spend your days dwelling upon, enraptured by, consumed with, living for? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. And now, Father, as we prepare to receive the Lord's Supper, we pray that you would fix our eyes on the body and the blood of Jesus, broken for us, shed for us, to purchase us, to redeem us, to secure us, to destine us now for eternity in your presence. Help us to live with our feet firmly planted on this ground. Help us to fully engage in the work that is to be done in this world. Help us to be faithful to all that you've called us to do and to serve in this life, yet with Jesus in the middle, with Jesus in the middle of our gaze, with our eyes fixed upon him, with our hearts tethered to him, with our aspirations and our desires wrapped up in him. Comfort us with these words, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.